Hello and welcome to the next chapter of this Demon and Bandit series, where I'm going to show you some of my techniques for painting miniatures and tabletop role-playing games. This is TFM, the FDM DM, and last time I showed you how to prime and highlight a miniature. And also I got a piece of black paper. Instead of me holding it over my glove, let's see if this works better for focusing. All right, so you can see all I did was spray paint it black and then hit it from the top with a can of light gray primer, just a little spritz, and it created this really nice dynamic of black and white. Now, something I did off camera is, remember there were parts I missed because I didn't hit it at the right angle. So there were parts of the model underneath mostly that were still red. And all I did was I took a brush and some black paint and I just kind of, you know, just touched up those areas to make sure they were black before we moved on to the next step. And the black that I use for basically everything is just a very basic black, a very quick drying black paint. I didn't bring it, so it's Apple Barrel Black, like the glossy black. I also use that to do the rims of the bases. But anyway, so everything is ready to go. So let's talk about the color theory, for lack of a better word. All you really need, the highlight, this spray painting it black, and then hold on, let me get my paper. Here's the magic of the highlighting. So here we have a bandit who has a hood. And you can see the hood. You can see like the details in the hood and how it contrasts with the rest of his outfit because of the shadow. So this is like the magic part. You spray paint it black and that creates automatic shading. Everything that isn't painted or highlighted is automatically black. And then you just spritz it from the top from a light source to create your highlights. And it just creates this really dynamic thing. And because it's primer, it's like sticky. So the paint's gonna stick to it really nicely. And that's really it. All you have left to do is add the color. So let's talk about orcs and goblins. Now, ogres are not supposed to be green in Warhammer and HeroQuest, I guess, but my ogres are green because they live in swamps and they have talking donkey roommates and they listen to Smash Mouth. So I paint my ogres green. You can paint your ogres whatever you want. But I just want to show you this. This ogre, let me get my piece of paper again. This ogre is painted in only two colors of green. So all I did was hit her up, and this is the female ogre, by the way. Any resemblance to anybody's ex-girlfriend is purely coincidental and unintentional. So here is the female ogre, and you can see the highlights and the shadows, especially if I turn her around. So the back was more dark and the front was more light. You can see the light, almost white, the lighter greens. And then you see, you know, like, look at her arms, look at the muscle definition. This looks really good. And all this is the priming, highlighting, which I already showed you how to do, and two colors of green. All right, so that's the female ogre. Let me show you an orc. So here's an orc. And again, you can see the detail, the shading, the contrasting lights and shadows and highlights. And all this was accomplished. Why isn't my camera focusing? Is the paper not working? Is the paper making it worse? I thought maybe the paper would help the camera focus. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Anyway. Okay, there we go. Now it's focusing. So you can see the detail, the highlighting, the shading, and it's really automatic. All you do, you know, you prime it, highlight it, and then you hit it with the two shades of green, and you're done. I could go back in and I could like paint the weapons and the armor and the cloth different colors and actually finish up this orc, but I just leave them like green. Because this is meant to be abstract. This isn't supposed to represent a single orc per se. It's meant to represent orcs as such. And then here's a goblin. Let me see if this works better than the paper. I guess it doesn't matter. The paper was a giant waste of time. Here's a goblin with like kind of a witch doctor getup, little, you know, Wolverine claws, who knows. But same thing, you can see the highlighting, the shading, and the green. And that's how I do orcs, goblins, and ogres. And the bases represent, so orcs and goblins go together, so they have green bases. The ogres are their own thing, so they have black bases. That's what the bases mean. Anyway, The shades I use for orcs, goblins, and ogres are two shades of green. So for the base coat, I do Kelly Green. This is from Apple Barrel. This costs 85 cents. And then for the darker wash coat, I do Arbor Green. So it's a little bit darker. You can see, if I turn it just to the color, you can see the Kelly Green is kind of like an army green, whereas the Arbor Green is more of a forest green. So that's it. That's all I do. Now, basically, if you want to preserve your highlights, you have to make sure that your base coat isn't too thick so that it paints over the highlights. You want it to be a little thin. So basically, it's a two-stage wash, kind of like what I did with the undead, where I did a wash of dark yellow and then a wash of brown to get the poo-poo pee-pee wash. For orcs, you're going to do a wash of Kelly Green over the highlights, and then you're going to do a wash of Arbor Green for the actual wash layer, and that's it. So the Kelly Green is going to set your base coat, and then the Arbor Green is going to be your wash coat, and then you're done. Washes should always be darker than the base coat. That's really all you got to remember. Unless it's fire or something that emits light, then your wash coat can be lighter than the base coat. And I also want to show you this. All this is primed, Zenithal highlighted, and then hit with a gray wash. And this is how you do stone. So this is a gargoyle. Hold on, let me show. Okay, so this is the gargoyle. It's just based, primed. I keep calling it based. It's primed, highlighted, and then hit with a gray wash to give it a stone color. I don't even need to use different shades, just one shade of gray to give it, make it look like stone, because stone is meant to be more plain. This doesn't just work with stone. So you can do this with dungeon walls, whatever, but I'm just showing you this gargoyle to show you the stone. It's just a medium gray, and then that's it. This also works with these dire wolves. Same thing, primed it, Zenithal highlighted it, hit it with a gray wash, done. That's all you do. One step after priming it and highlighting it, you just hit it with a gray wash. If the camera wants to focus camera, I know you can do it. I believe in you. Jeez, this is annoying. I'm really sorry. I can't get my camera to focus for the life of me. Anyway, so I don't know. You'll have to use your imagination, I suppose, since the camera doesn't want to focus. Oh, there we go. Thank you, camera. Very cool. Anyway, so that's that. So gray wolves, stone, gargoyles, just hit it with a gray wash and you're done. All right, now let's get to the stars of the show. We have the bandits and we have the demon prince. And we also have this flag. Now, because this flag is going to be a piece of furniture, I'm actually going to put detail into the flag. When it comes to the characters, I want them to be abstract, like I was saying with the orc. I don't want to paint up this orc super detailed because this is supposed to be representing orcs as such. This can represent any orc. These are basically just disposable generic orcs. So that's why I keep them green. When it comes to furniture, I actually put in detail because furniture could represent a specific piece of furniture. And unlike people, like if you watch an action movie and all the henchmen are the same actor, it's going to break your immersion. You don't want all the, you know, the henchmen to be the same actor, which is why using the same miniature, unless it's a kind of abstractified, I don't know if that's a word, that's why I do this. That's why I keep them green. When it comes to furniture, though, if the furniture all looks the same, it's not going to break immersion. So I actually put work into the furniture. So I'm going to put work into the flag more so than everything else, which may seem kind of weird that I'm putting more effort into the flag when it comes to details than these bandits or this demon, but that's just how I roll. All right, without further ado, let's start with the bandits. So I mentioned this before. For the bandits, I'm for human NPCs, I make them orange. Orange represents human NPCs, whereas the PCs are red. And so for the orange I'm going to use pumpkin orange from Apple Barrel. Now, the thing I've noticed this about certain colors, orange, yellow, and red, they dry pretty thin. You don't need to really worry about watering them down too much because they're going to dry pretty thin. But we're going to have to play it by ear. So I'm going to put in some paint into this little well, which is ironically also orange. We're going to add our 70% isopropyl alcohol. We're going to add slightly less because we don't need to thin this down too much because for some reason yellow, orange, and red, they dry pretty thin on their own. And we're gonna add a couple drops of dishwasher rinse aid. This is gonna make our speed paint. We're gonna use our trusty stick. Good old stick's always there for us. And this may be too thin. We'll find out together. I may have to actually come in and basically just straight up put more paint on it. But we're gonna see, We're gonna play it by ear. All right, let's move these other miniatures out of the way. All right. Get out of here. Go be a goblin somewhere else. All right, let's find just a fat, there we go. Okay, actually, you know what? We'll use this. This is my trash brush. This used to be a good brush, and then it just mushroomed for me pushing paint. This is why I use those 5-cent craft brushes. This was a good kind of artist brush, and then from stippling and pushing paint, the tip has been absolutely ruined. So this is now my wash application brush, and it's just a way to give ruined brushes a second lease on life, I suppose. All right, for applying the wash, all you do, just get it all over the thing. You're not really too concerned, and you're just kind of just getting it everywhere. You're not, now you actually want, you may be thinking, oh, it's not covering it. You can see the black, you can see the gray. You want to do that. Remember, you're not trying to paint over your highlights. You just want to add color. Adding color to your highlights is the entire intent. You're not trying to paint over it. In fact, this stuff pooling in the armpits, that's actually really bad because that's going to dry that way. So what we're going to do is we can take a dry brush. I can just take this little makeup brush and try to soak this out of these recesses. But we don't want our washes to dry inside of like crevices, because that's just going to create like a pocket. Another thing you can do is you can have these dry upside down. I have a thing called the helping hands, which I didn't bring for this video. I probably should have, but it's only got two little arms, so that may not work anyway. But you can hang miniatures upside down so they can like, so the wash can get out of the recesses. You want it to be in the recesses of the model, but you don't want it to be in like the armpits, forming these puddles of color. Like what is literally happening with this model? This is a pretty funky model because of the pose, and there's a lot of recesses on this model, which is going to make this model in particular, like, it may not seem that significant, but this model in particular is probably going to be a pain in the ass just because of the that. Man, okay, so I don't know what I'm going to do with this. This model in particular is going to be rough just because of all the little recesses that the wash is going to want to settle in. Anyway, we'll return to that one. We'll come back to you. Let's just move on, and we're going to do the rest of them. Again, like, hopefully this one doesn't have like the armpits next to each other. So hopefully there are fewer recesses for the paint to want to settle. And you're just adding color. It's, you know what it's like? Back in the day when film was in black and white, they had this thing called Technicolor, where they had to manually add color to the film. And it was essentially like adding something like this to the black and white film to make it have color. And that's essentially what you're doing. Your black and white is what you've already done, the priming and the highlighting. So you've basically shot a black and white film, and now you're just applying the Technicolor. You're applying the color to make it look more lifelike, but you're not painting it, you know, super detailed. Like, as you can see, I'm just slathering on this very, very thin paint. And again, this one has a hood, so the paint's going to want to kind of settle in the hood, which is going to create a puddle, which is not good. All right. And then we got two more. I really like these bandits. These are going to make great henchmen, assassins. You can even use these in a post-apocalyptic kind of a zombie RPG. I mean, you could be like that one guy from Walking Dead with the crossbow. I mean, why not? A crossbow is like a good weapon in a post-apocalypse because you can recover your ammo. And ammo is a big limiting factor when it comes to like a post-apocalyptic weapon system, because you can't just go to the store and buy more ammo. So having something simple like a crossbow that you can just make more ammo for, because it's just an arrow, and you can recover ammo, possibly even whether you hit it or miss it, you might be able to recover your spent bolts, makes crossbows a really cool weapon. And so these guys would fit in a post-apocalyptic setting, fantasy setting, maybe a horror setting. I don't know. Maybe you're like hunting monsters and you have a crossbow with like, maybe it's a werewolf thing. Maybe these are silver crossbow bolts. So these are like werewolf hunters, you know, this could fit in all kinds of settings. Like basically just humans with weapons. That just a good little thing. The demon, that obviously he's more fantasy focused. You could do like a horror system. You could do a horror demon, have, you know, some type of a demonic invasion like Doom or something. You do lots of things. Don't let the fact that the intention was to make them fantasy hamstring your creativity. If you want to make your fantasy bandits post-apocalyptic scavengers, you do that. You don't let the man tell you what to do. All right. Let me make sure I got all the stuff out of that stuff. All right, I think that's good. I think this will dry okay. I'm worried about these little puddles. If a puddle does form, if you paint a miniature and you find out after it's dry that a puddle has formed, anyway, you get something small like a toothpick or your pair of tweezers, something small and sharp, and you just dig out that little dried paint puddle. That's all you got to do. So if there are puddles on your miniatures from the wash settling into like armpits, now obviously you want to take care of that, you know, if you can try to take care of it sooner rather than later. But if you can't, don't worry about it, just dig it out with a piece of metal or something. All right, so that is that. And the bandits are done, at least for their orange base coat. And again, let me show you. The point of the base coat is just to add some color. You can still see the highlights, you can still see the shadows. This is gonna add some color and make it look a little orange. We're still gonna add a red wash coat over the orange to make it look like rust, because that's just what I do when it comes to the human NPCs. But this is just step one. And the goal is, you want to add some color without painting over your shading and highlighting. That's what you want to avoid. All right, for the demon, and I explained this last time, for my chaos faction, I paint them silver and then I hit them with the black flash wash. So we're going to paint this guy silver. Silver, unfortunately, is an opaque paint. So we're going to have to add some isopropyl alcohol and some rinse aid, kind of similar to the orange. All right, so we're going to, this is the silver paint I use, Folk Art Metallic Silver Argent. All right, we're gonna add some, there we go. That should be enough for just one little guy. Now we don't want the silver to be too watery, so we're just gonna add a little bit of alcohol and a little bit of rinse aid. All right, and then we'll, like, you know what, let me wash my stick off. I don't want to get any orange in the silver. All right, so there's the silver. And we're going to use the same brush that we use for the orange. It doesn't really matter. We're going to do the same thing. We're just going to slather it on. Now this isn't, you're not, because this is silver, before it dries, it's going to look like there's nothing happening. It may be hard to tell that the silver is actually sticking to the model. It may, because it's already painted gray, and the silver wash is also a kind of a metallic gray. So you may not be able to see. I mean, maybe on the black, if I paint the black, it might be more obvious
that I'm the silver. It just may not look like you're doing anything at this stage. But again, your point, the entire purpose of this step is you're trying to paint the miniature, the base color, without losing your highlights. If you just paint this straight up silver without watering it down, you're gonna paint over your highlights. Your priming and your highlighting will be completely painted over, and it's like it never even happened. So you wanna make sure that your silver is sufficiently thinned so that when it is painted over, it won't, I think I might have screwed up. Well, we'll see. We'll see how this dries. So you can see this looks mostly silver. Like, you really can't even see the highlights and the shadows anymore. Or you might be able to see some of it. Like, this looks darker than the front, but a lot of the individual details, they're gonna be subdued. We're gonna see once and for all once this dries. So we're gonna have to wait for this to dry, see how the silver wash turned out, see maybe it wasn't thin enough and the details weren't seen. But this looks good to me. The orange might have been too thin, which was my worry. We'll see how this looks when this dries, but the orange might be too thin and too watery, which means I watered it down too much. Like, you can see some of these models, they got like a little bit of orange color, but you can barely see it. You know, it's mostly black and gray with like a little orange highlight. We will see. We'll see how this looks. Sometimes a model, it looks bad when it's wet, and then once it dries, it looks better. I'm not sure why that is. All right, everyone, it's been a couple hours. Everything looks mostly dry. Let's take a look. So here we have our bandit who's been stained orange. You can still see a lot of the light gray. Let me see if I can get the camera to focus. Maybe if I back up, there we go. So you can see the orange. You can still see the light gray and the white, or the light gray and the black. That's important. So for the mercenaries, for the human NPCs, I like to add a red wash over the orange to give them a rusty kind of look, and then paint the bases orange. We're also gonna check out the demon. So the demon was painted silver. It looks like some of the detail was lost. Looks like the silver paint wasn't thin enough. It looks mostly silver. Like, you can't really see a lot of the separation. Well, no, you can see some of it. Like, underneath his horns, where the highlight didn't hit, it's darker than the top. So there's still, it's very subtle. The detail is very subtle. I probably should have thinned down the silver a little bit more, but I think it'll be all right once I add the black flash wash. All right, let's start with the red. So I'm gonna be using a bright red. Again, the Apple Barrel matte. This is 85 cents. Also, I mentioned the black paint I used last show, but I forgot to grab it. This is the paint I use to touch up mist priming. This is also what I use for the edges of the bases. It's Apple Barrel Gloss Black. And mainly it's because it's quick drying. So this is a really good thing for basing and also for like any kind of black touch up, but it's very opaque. So this will cover everything up, which is why it's good for basing. All right, let's start with the bright red. And we'll go with the orange well again. There we go. We don't want it to be too thick. We're gonna add some, once again, some 70%. Isopropyl alcohol, and then we're going to add a splash of dishwasher rinse aid, and then that's going to make our contrast paint, speed paints, basically all contrast paints and speed paints are a little bit thicker washes, very thin paints, or somewhere between a wash and a thin paint, with the dishwasher rinse aid mixed in to help it flow into recesses. All right, so let's just jump into it. Slather it on, and there you go. And just like before, it may look really bad while it's wet. The goal is to create a rusty color, kind of a mix between red and orange. because that's just the scheme I chose for human NPCs. And again, because this is for HeroQuest, I wanted the human NPCs to have their own unique color. A lot of NPCs basically like gray. So I thought orange was good because it's close to red, which is the color of the heroes. And most of the heroes are human. Most of the quests you'll do, like when you interact with the quest line, you're mostly working with humans and the Human Alliance and the Human Empire, and humans are basically going to be your stock NPCs. So because of that, the humans are going to mostly be good guys, but they don't necessarily have to be good guys. So I don't want to make them red, because what if you have, you know, what if you go to a tavern and you get into a tavern fight? What if you have assassins? What if you have bandits? What if you have, you know, thugs or henchmen? So having them also, like, there are mercenaries in HeroQuest. And so to differentiate them from the PCs, I decided to make the NPC humans orange. And not just straight up orange, like pumpkin orange. I give them like a rusty orange color, which makes them stand out. So I do that by doing the orange base coat and then the red wash, and the orange and the red form a rusty color. And the reason why I do red second is because red is darker than orange. So you always do the brighter color as the base coat and the darker color as the wash. But as you can see, this is really, really short, you know. We're just slathering on some wash. Because of the rinse aid, this should flow down into the recesses pretty easily, pretty effortlessly. You don't have to do a lot of work. That's really the main thing. You see a lot of this miniature painting stuff. It looks so complicated. But that's because you're assuming it's like 2D painting. When you're 2D painting, you have to create everything using artistry. When you're painting a miniature, you're basically using gravity. You know, nature and gravity are doing most of the work for you. Oh, you know what? I forgot my cup. Dang it. Forgot my cup. Now what am I going to do? Well, you know what? We're gonna get experimental. Just because I forgot my water cup, but I have my rubbing alcohol here, I'm just gonna make like a little cup. I should have grabbed some water. I'm stupid, but I don't feel like getting up. So we're just gonna wash our brush off on a little well of rubbing alcohol, which is really gonna clean the brush. That's gonna clean the crap out of this brush. I mean, is it a waste of rubbing alcohol? Yes, it is. But, you know, it's going to get the job done, by golly. All right, this brush, let me try one more time. This brush should be, like, I mean, this is probably cleaning off old paint that was, like, dried on into the bristles. Because, again, this is my trash brush. That should be good. I can't imagine it not being good after all that rubbing alcohol. All right, now let's make our black flash wash. Again, we're going to use the color shifting black flash, which is a black gold type of a thing. It's kind of hard to describe, honestly. Actually, you know what? Let's use the purple. We don't need that much. All right, so it's depending on how you look at it. It looks kind of black. It looks kind of gold, depending on whether the light's hitting it right. It's an interesting color, and it works really well as a... Man, I can't. I'm just dribbling it everywhere. I'm like an old person trying to eat soup. Oh my goodness! I just got rubbing alcohol like on literally everything. I probably ruined the paint on some of these guys from just getting dripping rubbing alcohol all over them. But we'll have to come back. We may have to repaint some of these just because of my messy rubbing alcohol mix. I don't even look. I'm squeaking the foam. I'm just so messy today. I don't know why. All right. Whatever. You know, we're just, life goes on. Let's move all these bandits out of the way. This is not looking good. This looks like a crime scene over here. All right. We're just gonna stipple. This is how I ruin brushes, by the way. If you want to know why this brush is so awful and why I buy 5-cent craft brushes, this is why. Because I ruin brushes by doing this
exact thing I'm doing right now, where I just kind of smush and stipple the wash all over the model. And you can see it settling into the recesses. So this works. It's going to get me the desired result. But if you use a brush that has like any kind of a like a point, you can kiss that point goodbye. That point is gone. You just smushed that brush to just, it's ruined, you know? So yeah, don't, if you're going to do this, if you're going to do what I'm doing, make sure you have a cheap brush that you don't mind ruining, because this will ruin the tip on any brush. Now, once you ruin a brush, you can go ahead and just use that as your designated smush brush. But just be aware, you are going to ruin the ever-living crap out of the tips of your brushes by doing this. But look at the results. So you saw like how it was silver at the beginning. Now I put in the black flash wash. It's going to make it kind of a gunmetal blackened. Is this going to focus? Come on, focus. Jesus. All right. I guess that's as good as it's going to get. I don't know how to make this thing focus. Anyway, so this looks good, honestly. I'm digging it. And you can see it settled into all the recesses, the eyes, the mouth. You got nice, good dynamic contrast. It's like a darkened, blackened metal, kind of like a gunmetal zinc, and it looks good. And this is how I paint my chaos forces. So whether you're a chaos warrior or a chaos demon, this is how I paint you. This basically designates you as a chaos enemy. I could like separate it by like Khorne or Nurgle and have different schemes, but I just have like generic chaosy blackened metal equals chaos. That's just how I roll. All right, so he was actually easier. I'm a little bit worried about the bandits because I splashed all that rubbing alcohol on them, but it looks like they'll be all right. It looks like, again, the goal. Well, let's take a look at them. Let's see how these are going. I mean, they look fine. It's now the red is still wet. When it dries, it'll look more like rust. It'll look more rusty. And you'll still see the gray and the black, and that's the point. You want the nice contrast. You want it to look like you spent a lot of time shading and highlighting when you really didn't. I didn't do any weird edge highlighting. This is just the Zenithal highlight poking through the orange and red washes. And they just kind of naturally drip into the recesses and drip down the model and just stain. Again, if you do the priming and the highlighting correctly, most of your work will already be done. If this were a black and white movie, it would already look good. You're just adding color, but you don't want to paint over your highlights because all that work's been done for you. And so when this is done, this is going to have some grays, some blacks, and then the orange and red rust will be like just to add color. Again, it's a faction color that I've chosen for human NPCs. All right, so everything is dry. Let me show you how they look. So here is one of the bandits. So you can see the red, you can see the orange, it looks like rust. But you can also see the gray and the black. It could look better. I might end up just painting over this with a thicker orange, because you really can't see the orange. The red wash worked fine. The red wash is fine, but you can't really see the orange. But the orange, like I said, orange, red, and yellow tend to dry very thin. So what we're going to do is, rather than use a wash, we're just going to just paint over them with orange, and then we'll do the red wash. I'll do that off camera. I already showed you how to do the red wash. Some of them look okay. Like this one looks okay. This one you can see kind of the orange. It could be better. I don't know. Like, I'm somewhat happy. You know what? I might just leave these. I don't know. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to do the basing, and we're going to see how they look when they're done. As far as this flag goes, the wash really didn't take. However, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the flag make the flag made out of skin. And so I'm going to put some detail into this, and I'll show you how to do that. And then here's our demon prince. He came out really well. Let me see if they focus. 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 There we go. All right. So the oil wash, that flash black oil wash, really did a good job.
darkening the metal, bringing out the details. I didn't even notice one of his nipples were pierced. Like, he's got a pierced nipple. I didn't even notice that until now. And you can even see the details on his horns. He's got, like, segmented horn armor, which I didn't notice. But yeah, this guy looks great. Okay, so what we're going to do for basing, real simple. In fact, we're not even going to use washes anymore. We're going to get into the detail section. So detailing is all about either hitting up individual details or just doing the bases. So first, we're going to paint. We're going to start with the bright red. And we're going to do this flag. Now, why are we doing the flag in red if I'm going to make it skin? Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to dry brush a flesh tone over the red. Because if you look at skin, the funny thing about skin is you have blood underneath your skin. And that blood actually changes how your skin looks. Like, a dead body has a different kind of hue to it than a live body because the blood isn't flowing. So if you want something to read as skin, what I found is a good trick is you paint something red, but then you dry brush on the skin tone. And that's how you get a nice natural looking skin. Now, obviously this, you don't have to use red. I've also used purple if you want to do like a zombie. And the purple kind of denotes the coagulated, clotted, festering, diseased, you know, skin. Just have fun with it. And we'll dry brush on the actual skin tone later. And then last thing we'll do, once we put the dry brush of skin tone on, then we will do a brown wash, which the brown will seep into the recesses and give it some shading and some natural highlighting, and it'll look good. I'm also using an artist brush because it has a flat. You can use a makeup brush too. I like the flat edges when I do basing, and I'll show you why. That's really all we're gonna use the red for. I just wanted to hit up that the banner, but we're gonna come back to that. All right, let's start with orange. Let's do the basing for the bandits. All right. Actually, we'll just hold them. So the reason why I like to use the flat brush is it helps me go around the feet. That's kind of the key, is you need to go around the feet. You don't want to paint the feet. And if your brush is too sharp, like something might go and poke up the feet. Or if you use a flat brush, what you'll do is when you get up to the feet, you just kind of like pull back. And that way you don't paint the feet. And that's really what it's all about. That's the hokey pokey of doing like simple bases. I know some people really like to get into their bases. They like to, you know, use cork and sand. And they go all out. They really want their base to tell a story. And I don't. I don't really care. The story of my base is you can tell what faction the character belongs to by the color of the base. A lot of my monsters, which are obviously like out for themselves, have black bases. Some of them have green bases, like the orcs and the goblins. The PCs have red bases. The NPCs have orange bases, like the mercenaries and whatnot. And that's it. Oh my goodness. Now once this is dry, I go around the edge of the base with black. So it'll be orange on top and it'll be black on the side. And what the purpose of doing the bases like this is, you might look at this rusty red type of mess and it might look like the model's dirty. But when you see the clean, sharp base, then it will read as intentional. You'll realize, oh, it's supposed to look like that. And the thing about nature, like, my goal is to make the miniatures look natural. Even though they're all like basically one, you know, combination of colors, I want the shading and the highlighting to look natural. And the thing about nature is it just happens. It doesn't take any effort. It just kind of happens. But sometimes something can look messy. Something can look wrong.
even though it actually looks natural. And the way to kind of bring that out where people understand this is natural is put something clean and sharp to contrast the natural kind of mess that you're going for. And so in combination with the bright orange, flat, smooth base, having this messy red and orange rust paint scheme, it will then read as intentional. Then all of a sudden the grays, the blacks, the reds, the oranges, it no longer looks like, you know, this is just something happened to the model. Now it's like, oh, this is like part of the theme. It's like a rusty kind of theme. Oops, see, I got some on his foot. I'll show you how to fix that. Well, you could just let it dry and paint over it, but I don't play that. So let me show you how to fix. If you accidentally get some paint on the foot, I will show you how I deal with these sorts of inevitable mistakes. And the way I do so, let me just finish the base. All right, what I do is I get a brush. It should be, actually I have a brush that's like a sponge on a stick. It's like a makeup brush, but I don't seem to have that handy. So this, I'll have to use this. Really simple. You just take this, take a brush, get it wet, and then just wipe the wet paint off the part of the model that you didn't mean it to go on. And that's it. Ta-da. It's you don't need to overthink it. Because I waited, like, now if you try to paint something, if you try to wet blend something while all the paint's still wet, then you're going to take off all the paint you don't want taken off. But if you let things dry and then you paint over the dry paint with your next step, then what will happen is if you make a mistake, a little bit of water should take that off. And so there you go. I just cleaned up around the foot, and all that extra paint that I accidentally got on the foot is taken care of. All right, two more bandits. I'm not gonna do the banner. And that other bandit was the hard one because his feet were pretty close together. And the final bandit, that's gonna be the final challenge is when I get the final bandit, because his feet are really close together. I'm probably gonna get some paint on his foot, which is, you know, it happens. It's all part of the process. I enjoy the process. I don't know why I like it. I like being able to just do something and focus on it without having to think about too much. Like when you're painting, you have a very simple goal. You're focusing on whatever step you're on. And, you know, because I use a very simple technique, I can see my progress. It's not something like, you know, it's going to take me weeks and weeks to paint this and I'm not going to see any progress for a long time. I can see immediate progress. You know, I'm not trying to win any kind of award. What I'm trying to do is just enjoy myself. And when I do end up playing Hero Quest or, you know, use these miniatures for D&D, they look so much better than just using bare plastic or doing something like cardboard standees or, you know, Monopoly pieces or just random dice, like this D4 is this and this D5 and this D6 and, you know, like to actually have something, not necessarily a bespoke miniature for every encounter. That's why I like to use these abstract colors. I don't want a bespoke, you know, assassin, bespoke henchman, bespoke bandit, you know, where I have like multiple copies of the same model painted slightly differently for different kinds of encounters. I'm fine having it. See this right here? Trying to get in between these feet. I'm probably going to get paint on the feet. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Let's see if I can do it. Can I paint in between these feet without getting paint on the feet? Nope. I got paint on the feet. Is it bad? Kind of. It's kind of bad. So I'll have to take my water. It looks like I got it on this side of the foot. So I'll get a wet brush with, this has shortened bristles, so it's a little bit stiffer. That's what she said, you know? Get it? It's a, It's a penis joke. Penis jokes are funny, but not everyone gets it. All right. I think that's it. Yep. All right. So I'm not worried about getting any of the orange paint on the side. I'll just paint over that with the black. Also, if you notice, the paint, like orange, yellow, and red, are going to dry light. I might have to put a couple coats of orange until it's smooth, but I'm not going to worry about that at the moment. All right, let's go ahead and clean our brush. All right, now we're going to do black. We're going to do the demon. You're going to do his base in my glossy black. And you've noticed, like, I just used the caps. I just used the caps of the paint. I don't use any kind of fancy cups. Just use the cap. It's good enough. And this paint I'm using is just Walmart paint. It's either Folk Art or it's Apple Barrel. Apple Barrel is a little bit cheaper than Folk Art, but it's not like Folk Art is expensive. It's like $4 for the expensive gimmick paints. I don't know how many, okay, some of this is gonna be hard to get because these chains, this guy has like a chain weapon that's really low to the ground, but not quite touching. So I need to paint underneath his little flail without actually touching his model. I don't wanna get the black on his stuff. You know, he's got a really nice silvery blackened thing. And this is why I like the flat brush. I'm just going to slide it underneath. I'm going to slide the bristles underneath. This is why I go through brushes so much. When you push a brush, you ruin the tip, period. You don't want to push brushes. And yet, I just find myself pushing brushes. You know, just I find that pushing the brush, pushing the paint, is the best way for me to achieve the result I'm looking for. But the consequence is I ruin the brush, which is why I try to use the cheaper brushes. But when it comes to basing, I like to use a flat bristle brush, and the craft brushes don't really do that. So I just have to accept that I'm probably going to go through even more brushes. Now, these aren't expensive brushes. You get these brushes for like $4 at Walmart. Now, $1 per brush is still more expensive than 5 cents per brush, but sometimes you can make it work, sometimes you can't. It is what it is. Such is life. All right, there's a spot right here between the foot and the flail, and I don't know how I'm gonna get that. All right, let's see what we can do. Can I get it? Can I get a whoop whoop? Oh, I think I got it. I got a little bit of paint on the bottom of his hoof, but I think that's okay. I think that little bit of paint on his hoof is gonna be all right. All right, and we'll just kind of thicken this up. Now, because normally I'd wait for the paint to dry, like for these orange bases, I have to wait for the paint to dry before I can do the edge. But since this is going to be painted black anyway, it doesn't matter if it's wet or not. So I could just do the edge right now. I'm going to paint the edge black. And you can see the bottom of the original color. I don't bother painting the bottoms since you're not going to see them anyway. All right. Cool. So this guy's done. The Demon Prince of Chaos is done. Rangosh, the Scourge of the Broken Wastes, converted into a Chaos Demon Prince pretty easily, as you've seen. Not too much effort. All right, and that's it. That is it. This is going to take a little bit for the bases to dry. As far as the bandits, I think they're all right. I think they're all right. They could be better. The orange, I think next time I'm not going to water down and make an orange wash. I'm just going to hit them with the orange because you can't really see the orange. It just looks like I used a red wash. I can't really see any detectable orange.
maybe some speckles here or there, which I'm not very happy with. I don't know. I'll compare it to the rest of my human faction. I don't want them to stand out, so I may end up repainting them in orange and then hit them with another red wash. So they'll basically look like this, but instead of the black and gray, there'll be some detectable orange on the model, which unfortunately, it looks like the red mixed with the orange, which, you know, it's fine. This could work. I'll think about it. I'll sleep on it. The demon prints turned out really well. Now, obviously, him just having a black and silver color scheme isn't the most exciting. Maybe, you know, having other colors going on probably make him look better. But this is how I paint my Chaos faction. So I think he looks great. And he matches all the other Chaos. So when you're fighting a bunch of Chaos, they're all going to look the same. You're going to know exactly who's on which team. There's not going to be any questions about what you're up against and who's fighting who. So anyway, that's it. I mean, these guys are basically done. If I have to repaint them, I'll just repaint. I'm not going to film that. I'll just repaint these. And as far as this, after this dries, I'll dry brush on. Actually, you know what? I'll do a video where I'll show you me dry brushing on the flesh tone. And then I will paint the skulls. Actually, you know what? Let me paint the skulls now, since I'm going to hit those with a brown wash anyway. Let me use my detail brush. And I will just paint on some King's Gold. And if you remember from my Poopy Poopy Wash video, this is part of the color that I use for undead. So we're just going to hit these skulls up with the dark yellow, the King's Gold yellow. And when this dries, we'll eventually hit this up with the brown. What we're going to do is we're going to dry brush on the flesh tone onto the red, and then we will hit both the skulls and the flesh tone kind of tapestry, cape, whatever you call this fabric flag. We'll hit that up with the brown at the same time. And then brown will also be the color of the stick, the actual thing holding up the banner. And altogether, it'll look like, right now it's probably looking pretty messy. You got this red, you got this yellow. It doesn't look like it goes together. But once it dries, once we add the dry brushed flesh tone, and especially the brown wash, it's going to tie everything together. And it's going to look really good. So that's what this is going to be. So this is going to be pretty multi-step. We got the base coat for the banner. We got the base coat for the skulls. Then we're going to dry brush on some flesh, hit it with a brown wash, and then paint the stick brown with, you know, the same brown that we use for the brown wash. And then we'll paint the base black. And we'll just use this as furniture. Like, we'll put this in the dungeon just as like an omen, you know, like, don't, you might not want to go down there. Something down there probably doesn't want you down there, because usually when you put a banner with skulls all over it somewhere, you're sending the message, hey, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. I'm not interested in your subscription services. Please go away. Anyway, so that's going to be it. Thank you very much. This is TFM DFDMDM. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you next time.